talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome back to the second hour of Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide and live on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits, and all points of view are welcome. And I want to talk again with something even more specific about Donald Trump's loss of mental acuity. And I say this, and this is objectively said. Yes, I oppose him, and yes, I won't vote for him. But there is a deeper purpose here, and that is, if somebody doesn't have all his marbles, I'm not talking that he stuttered as a kid and that he overcame it when he was bullied and he's still sharp as nails like Joe Biden. I'm talking about somebody who genuinely is losing his marbles. All right. So consider this. This is what Trump said in New Hampshire just now, just leading up to this this primary. He goes like this, out of the blue. He goes, we are an institute in a powerful death penalty. We will put this on. We have to bring in the death penalty. Now, to say something like that, let's say that you say we need the death penalty. Well, first of all, there is a death penalty. There's a federal death penalty that Biden has put on hold. But that's Biden. The law is there, and many of the states have it. Some don't have it. Wisconsin does not have a death penalty because back in the 1850s, I think it was even before the Civil War, some guy got hanged for theft or something, and apparently it was a kind of a gruesome hanging. It didn't go well, and he ultimately died, but he, you know, it was very, very traumatic for everybody to watch it. They should have been watching it in the first place. And the legislature sent, and a lot of them were abolitionists, and they were Lincoln Republicans, and they said, no way, we're getting rid of the death penalty. Wisconsin hasn't had a death penalty now in, what, 170 years, going on 180 years. But some states do. So I disagree with him. I disagree with Trump. But if he wants to say we have to have a national death penalty and impose it on the states, that may or may not be constitutional. I think it's not, but we can talk about it. But that's not what he said. He was floundering around. And he started out by saying, it started with this, we can't do anything. We are an institute in a powerful death penalty. We will put this on. We have to bring in the death penalty. Well, what's that? That's not saying at the very end, he says, we have to bring in the death penalty. Where, how, what? No. He says, we can't do anything. And he sort of looks vacantly. We are an institute in a powerful death penalty. We will put this on. We have to bring in the death penalty. The problem with having a guy like that as president, and we put up with it for 4 years, and Nikki Haley said, you know, when I started, when he appointed me and I started, I knew him in 2016, I could disagree with him, but at least he had all his marbles. She didn't put it quite that way. She said, now he's changed. And she's a partisan in the sense that she wants to beat him, and I get that and all that, but she's not alone in saying that. And it's as if Reagan somehow decided to run when he ran for his second term and his Alzheimer's had been a little earlier than it was. At some point, you got to say, hey, look, I don't care if you're a Trump supporter out there or not. Whatever you saw in the guy before, you can't have a guy making decisions on nuclear weapons or not, chickening out to Russia, chickening out to China, looking weak. He looked weak to Turkey. They call him up in the golf course. He says, go ahead, genocide the Kurds. What the hell? What do I care? I'm just addressing the seven iron shot. You can't have this. Now, this has spread throughout the Republican Party. They sense his weakness. They know that he stimulates his people to make death threats. They don't want death threats against them and their family, so they support him. But they know he's bonkers. and they know he's no damn good. And here's how that is translating into the disorganization of the Republican Party. For one thing, they couldn't elect a speaker. They haven't done anything legislatively. They're the least productive Congress in recent memory. But DeSantis goes back to Florida. Now, DeSantis grudgingly endorses Trump, showing how spineless he is after he's being called names by Trump and all this. But he immediately went down and he threatened to veto a bill. What was the bill? The Republicans in Florida are so submissive to Trump, they proposed a bill and it was going through the legislature to pay Trump's legal fees. Taxpayers, I'm not kidding, pay Trump's legal fees up to $5 million. DeSantis had supported that. When he dropped out, he just went back and he said, no, I'll veto it. I don't support it and it won't go anywhere. You know, he's wreaking revenge is what he is. There's a lot of concern right now down in Florida that he will be on a vengeance tour of his own, knifing Republicans who supported Trump, who supported Haley or anybody else and didn't support him. And he thinks that's somehow going to be good for him. I do not see how he thinks that's good for him. Going to the lines, John of Boaz, my friend. Thanks for calling, John. What's in your mind today?
Hi, Matt. I love your show, and I'm glad Thank we're you. Talking about Trump today, because I'd like to say about him, he's not sober. He doesn't think like a sober man because he's addicted to adventure, drugs, and who knows. Matt, I think he is a walking, talking nightmare. Back when he was working at the White House the first time in 2018, Iran shot and destroyed two tankers and the $13 million drone. And we were going to snap back and retaliate, which we did, except for when it came down to the brass tacks, Trump pulled out. Because he chickened out. He had cold feet, Matt.
Where were these drones and tankers and all that stuff? What are you talking about there?
What would be considered the Red Sea?
Oh, okay. Yeah, right. Let me just jump in for a second, just so we're clear. I couldn't agree with you more that he's a disaster. It was a terrible president. I don't know that he uses drugs for the reason is, he had an older brother who died of alcoholism, and apparently, and this seems to be borne out by all sorts of people, that he gave up alcohol at the time and does not use alcohol, and I'd not heard that he used drugs. So I suspect that that may not be the case. At the same time, I think he is addicted to power. I think he's addicted to demeaning women and abusing women. I think he's addicted to a lot of unhealthy things, and there were some eminent psychiatrists in this country who collectively diagnosed him as a sadonarcissist. And with the caveat that you don't issue a diagnosis unless you examine the patient, you have him lying on the couch right in front of you. And so they had that caveat and they said, this is not a diagnosis that we're making on a patient, but in our collective experience, people that exhibit this kind of behavior or a sadonarcissist. And the problem with sadism is that sadism is the flip side of masochism. And you've heard the term sadomasochist. I think it's very rare to have a sadist who isn't also a masochist. And the problem is he's sadistic to women. He's sadistic to people who he wants to take revenge on who didn't support him. But he's masochistic and submissive to other people whom he's afraid of. And one of them is Vladimir Putin. One of them is Kim Jong-un. And increasingly, I think Xi of China. He's a Russian agent, frankly. He met with the Russians in the White House with no Americans present. He has met with Putin and only used Putin's translator. Didn't even bring an American translator and nobody from the State Department or the NSA with him. And I have no idea what kind of deals he cut on the side. when he had those Ruskies in the White House and he had their foreign secretary and all that, there was nobody there to guard them. I mean, you know, Mr. Trump, do you mind if I use the restroom? Yes, down that hall to the right, right there in the White House. The guy goes, tends to go to the restroom and comes back. How do I know what he planted in the woodwork? You know, I mean, this guy, I don't care if you're Republican, Democrat, conservative, liberal, you can not have somebody who is of questionable mental acuity and at the same time has shown himself disposed to betraying the United States. That you can't have in a president of the United States. And this disrespect, even for themselves and their own party, and even for him, goes even farther. This guy, Bob Good, in Virginia, Bob Good had originally endorsed DeSantis, and he incurred Trump's wrath. And Marjorie Taylor Greene is supporting Bob Good's Republican primary opponent, trying to suck up to Trump. In other words, they will take out people in their own party who deviate a gnat's eyelash from what they think is unquestionable loyalty to Trump. That's very dangerous. That's kind of a cult of Putin. That's a cult of Mao. That's really a cult of Kim Jong-un. In other words, if you even say something or take a contrary position in any respect, in Russia right now, if you criticize the Ukraine war, you go to prison. If you even have the Ukraine colors in your apartment, the blue, yellow, whatever it is, that's a criminal offense. Criminal offense. And if you're a higher level guy, you get killed. In the last 2 months, several more have been thrown out of the window. Some drowned. One guy, they said he was in his 30s and he was found in a car dead. And the official diagnosis was cardiomyopathy, but they wouldn't let anybody do an autopsy. Now, it hasn't gotten to that point in the United States, but in the Republican Party, if you don't unquestionably look on Trump as the leader, as somebody that you're loyal to, they'll get you. That is there's a culture of fear, and that's stimulated partly by death threats and partly by the fear of primaries is what it is. Well, coming up, we'll be back very, very shortly, but coming up, Bob Good, I'm going to talk to you a little more about what he's done.
Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. We talked about Bob Good. He's a congressman from Virginia. He's bad news, right-wing nut, of course. But Bob Good endorsed Ron DeSantis, and I alluded to that just before we stepped away. Endorsed Ron DeSantis, and as you know, Marjorie Taylor Greene signed on to endorse his opponent in the primary, and Trump's out to get him. Let me tell you something. This is so craven and so disgusting, the servility of this, but here's what he did. Right after DeSantis dropped out, so in other words, the guy he endorsed drops out, Good put out a statement. It said this, quote, "Trump has my complete and total endorsement. He is the greatest president of my lifetime." Now, how servile is that? How craven is that? Bob Good says, quote, "Trump has my complete and total endorsement. He is the greatest president of my lifetime." Hoping to escape Trump's wrath and not have Trump endorse his primary opponent, although Marjorie Taylor Greene has. Well, Caitlin Collins of CNN, who does a pretty good job, interviewed him, and she put up on the board his past statements about Trump, which were, to put it mildly, very uncomplimentary. And one of them was this. He said, this is Good, in the past, "I decided to endorse DeSantis in May because I felt I can't sit by and watch and then regret that we nominated Trump." That's what he said. What about that? He first said to her, well, this is, that was edited. That isn't what I said. She said, "Now, wait a minute. if this is an audio video. You did say it. Then he said, well, I didn't say it publicly. I didn't know somebody was taping it. You know, these are the guys we have. And then he voted to get rid of a succession of speakers. I mean, this is what we got. This is the Republican Party. Go to the lines. Take you in order. Don't hang up. Dick of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Dick?
Something I read recently about the GOP back in the 60s, the early 60s, and both parties are susceptible, I think, Matt, to kind of offbeat things from time to time. And this is really offbeat, this mega thing and this Trumpism or whatever. But you think, like, the GOP back then, you know, there were a lot of birchers a part of it. And mainstream people like Nelson Rockefeller were driven out. And actually, John Kennedy, from what I've read, he feared running against Nelson Rockefeller. Didn't fear it, but thought he'd be a very strong foe. And yet, here you are all these years later, this party seems susceptible, is what I'm saying, to just, you know,
right,
people coming in and taking it over, as they did at that time. And that whole situation then, at least on there at that time, they knew who the enemy was, although they thought just about everybody in the country was a communist, except people that belonged to them. But at least they knew Russia and the communists were the enemy, as opposed to...
Yes, everybody was stood up to the Soviet Union, and the Birchers and all the right-wingers, they ended up with Barry Goldwater, who, you know, was not, and he lost big to Lyndon Johnson. So they didn't have the kind of control, frankly, that Trump has now. But excellent call. Thanks a lot for calling. I'm going to go down the line. Do not hang up. I'll get you in order. Wisco Paul, my friend, you're next. What's your mind at Wisco Paul?
Thanks for taking my call, Matt. I'll make this very quick. I'm glad you're bringing all these things up about Trump, but understand that Fox News and Newsmax and right-wing radio are saying the same thing about Biden. He's too old. He's frail. And when the general election comes around, that's what they're going to pound home. And do you want Kamala Harris as your president? And that's, you know, so it's just the way the news media portray each president. Now, I know that Biden is not that way, but you're going to get the people that are Republicans believing Fox. That Biden is incompetent. So it's going to be a two-way street here running. The interesting thing for me is we'll see what happens in New Hampshire tonight. If for some reason Trump does win in New Hampshire, Trump has the nomination locked up after that, and he won't have to appear in public anymore. God help us. So that's just the point I want to make. Thanks, Matt.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, no, I understand. The idea, though, is they've been falsely attacking Biden on mental acuity. His age is his age, but they'll both be in their 80s as president. But Biden does not have a problem with her. He has a stuttering problem. This guy has a real problem. I've just read you some of the stuff he said. So I think it's important, you know, we're not running an entirely negative campaign. I talk a lot about Joe Biden's accomplishments, but it does make sense to say, hey, look at the guy he's running against. He's a Russian agent. Does that bother you? I think that makes a lot of sense to say that. Bob of Madison, my friend, you're next. What's your mind, Bob?
Well, I'm wondering if there's a tape recording system for all international calls the president makes, because he made 7 calls in the spring of 2020 to Putin that to me looked like they were pre-planning the election steal strategy and stuff way back then, because he certainly started implementing exactly that kind of strategy immediately after this series of what I think are pre-planning calls and his continuing subservience to the Russian and his apprenticeship to Putin as a dictator wannabe. I think he's getting a lot of clues from Putin on a lot of the strategies and things that he's doing. So what do you think? Could Jack Smith subpoena those tapes if they exist for those 7 phone calls in the spring of 2020 to Putin?
Right, he could. But here's the deal. there is a protocol that there has to be a log of the calls, and there should be a description of the subject matter, but I don't know that there's a legal requirement that they be taped. As a practical matter, they are. In other words, anything that Obama or Biden is taped. But with Trump, think about it. If he meets with Putin without a translator, uses Putin's translator, and there are no Americans present, and he does that in the White House, no Americans present, do you think he taped anything that was incriminating? I doubt it very seriously. But I like your idea that Jack Smith should subpoena these all records, including without limitation, tape recordings, logs, descriptions, transcripts, all of this kind of stuff. And, you know, if it's still in the White House, great. But here's what I'm afraid. I'm afraid that was in the boxes in Mar-a-Lago, if it existed at all. Listen, thanks a lot. Coming up, and stay on the line. I'll get back to you as soon as we get back. A lot of news, a lot of weather, and Jamie Raskin and the Democrats are subpoenaing or trying to subpoena Trump's money that he got from foreign countries.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot with a look at your weather ahead. A winter weather advisory is in effect now until 2 p.m. A mix of freezing rain, sleet, and snow is creating treacherous travel. Go slow as temperatures hover around the freezing mark all day. Ice and snow accumulations are likely and widespread freezing fog. Right now, it's 30.
Governor Evers lays out his priorities for 2024 when he delivers his State of the State address. I'm News Director Terry Bell. Join Civic Media's Todd Albaugh and me as we bring you the governor's speech live, right here, Tuesday night at 7, followed by the Republican response. Todd and I will help you understand what it means for you, your family, and your community. Join us for the governor's State of the State address, Tuesday night at 7, here on your local Civic Media radio station and the Civic Media app.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Now we'll go right to the lines. Todd or Billy of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Todd or Billy?
Hey, Matt, I've got a couple of questions. One is, you know, when we're talking about, you know, the people's doubts about Biden and, you know, Kamala Harris comes up and, you know, I've got some friends who are not MAGA, but they would be Republicans if there really were a Republican Party. And they're kind of like, oh, and Kamala Harris, she's just horrible. Well, what's so horrible about her? I don't think there's anything so horrible about her other than that that people who are misogynist say she's horrible. It seems like Hillary Clinton all over again. What is so horrible about Hillary? We hate her because she's a woman was the right answer. And I just can't figure out what they're talking about that they think she's so terrible. And that's what I'm really wondering about. And how do you address that?
Yeah, that's a good question. And here's the thing. And let's put it kind of bluntly. If they had come up to you, anybody, in Biden's team back in 2020, and said, who do you think I should pick for vice president? You probably would have had a couple of choices. I probably would have had a couple of choices. And when he picked Kamala Harris, I do not think that that would have been the first choice in either of our lists, in all likelihood, perfectly acceptable. But The point is, she is the vice president, and it's a ticket, and she's with Joe. And she and Joe are going into combat against the Republicans. So I think that the way to handle it, the way I handle it here, is I'm for the Biden ticket. And that includes Kamala Harris. And first of all, Joe is very healthy. He was a great high school athlete. He's as healthy as anybody is. And he's absolutely not only doing the right thing, but showing his vigor. I mean, this guy flies to Kyiv. He flies several times to Warsaw and Munich. He flies to the Far East. He flies to conferences with all these folks, and is very tiring. And then he's back in the White House, and he's fighting the three principal enemies of the United States right now: Russia, China, and the Republican Party in the United States. They're not promoting military officers. They don't want to pay the troops. They insult the troops. They attack the FBI. They issue death threats. They lie about the last election. They're afraid of Trump. This guy has a lot on his plate. He's performing magnificently. Trump has early onset argumentative dementia. It's not a nicer way to put it. That's what it is. It's a physical condition. And he's a disaster anyway. So, yeah, they're going to say, well, Joe's old. So if he dies in office, then Kamala Harris will be the president. That's terrible. Well, you could say that about any vice president. Did you want Pence as vice president? This guy says that, well, maybe he'll put Elise Stefanik in there. Do you want her as vice president? Seriously? You have other people, Tim Scott, do you want him as vice president? Are you out of your mind? So no vice president, when the minute you mention that they could be president, you don't know that much about him, you go, oh my God, make the hair on a monkey's back stand straight on end. So I get it, but she's getting around and, you know, she's traveling. If she's in there, she'd take good counsel from the Secretary of Defense, Secretary of State, the NSA, she'll be fine. So just tell everybody to jump in the lake. Say, all right, when Trump dies, who do you want to be president on the Republican side? You want Elise Stefanik? Do you really? You want Tim Scott? Good luck. They're the front runners. Thanks a lot for calling, Todd or Billy. Going back to the lines, Joe of Madison. Thanks for calling. Joe, what's in your mind today?
Thanks, Matt. I wanted to return to the subject of Governor Abbott and the Supreme Court decision that that the feds will prevail and that the governor was not allowed to do exactly what he wanted in this issue that is what the court, I think, justifiably said is a federal issue, that you can't have every state deciding what they're going to do about immigration policy. You can't. You got to have a federal policy, especially because we're dealing with other countries and other governments. But I think it's an interesting point, Matt, that apparently the governor, I mean, God, nervy as all get out. He claimed in the lawsuit that the federal agents had destroyed states' property by cutting wire and they had interfered with Texas border security. Why wouldn't federal laws always trump state laws? And what I come back to is when the federal marshals, it was determined that federal marshals would go in and desegregate schools down in the South. It was determined that there was a federal interest in doing this. And I would bring up another point, Matt. You know, I'm looking through and talking about federal agents and who's in charge. And if you look, there's over 137,000 federal agents within our government. And they're really varied from postal inspectors to ATF, DEA, FBI, NSA, Department of Ag has, you know, uniformed officers. And then here's one for you that I think would provide a really interesting example. The Bureau of Engraving and Printing has two offices, one in Washington and one in Fort Worth, Texas. And this is where money is printed. Okay, what if Abbott just decided, I don't like the way the currency looks, and so I'm going to put barbed wire around this right. office in Fort Worth, which is on our state property, and, you know, to heck with the feds. Can you talk a little bit about this? Because to me, it's a similar example that our government has decided that we want to have certain standards in our currency, and it's going to be done, okay, so it's in Fort Worth, but you can't muck with it. So can you talk a little bit about that, Matt? I would appreciate it. Thanks. Bye.
Sure. Excellent call. And to my other caller, Stand by. I will get to you right away. Do not hang up. Joe, that's a great call. And let me tell you the law. The law in the Constitution is federal trump state on everything, any law. You know, in Missouri, they passed a law initially that said that federal gun laws wouldn't be enforced in Missouri, only state gun laws, and that was overturned immediately. Texas has a real identity issue, the Lone Star State. When George W. Bush was elected to the presidency, in my view, fraudulently in the year 2000, and at the inauguration, they had a flyover. They were all Texas National Guard planes. There weren't other Air Force planes in the vanguard of it. They like to, you know, they like to say they're the biggest, toughest, and this, that, and the other thing. That is something that I think is irrational. It's emotional. And I don't think their loss in the Civil War helped it at all. So the answer is he made that argument, and obviously it did not prevail. 5-4, he lost. But it's laughable. If the federal government comes in and takes any property it wants, your recourse is a suit under the Fifth Amendment for the taking of your property. So they send the bill to the federal government, said, you know, you quote destroyed, end quote, $1 million worth of barbed wire, send us $1 million. The funny thing, and you'll laugh at this, the federal government doesn't have to consent to be sued. So, but it waives it all the time. You know, if you're injured by a guy driving a mail truck, runs you over, you can sue him. Only because the federal government says you can. So I think it'd be very funny if Biden said, we don't consent to be sued. The hell with you. But you're absolutely right. And it's a disingenuous comment born by a very insecure emotional state, a throwback, an emotional mental state of people who somehow they think they're the Lone Star State and that they're independent from Mexico and the United States. It's a form of craziness, but terrific call. Thanks very much. Carol of Heartland, my friend. Thanks for calling. Carol, what's in your mind today?
Hi, Matt. Hey, I just wanted to say you didn't give a very good promotion to Kamala Harris. You forgot to say she's intelligent and perfectly capable of handling things and to compare her with the others. Shame on you.
Right, no, Carol, I deserve to have my wrist slapped. Shame on me. What I'm trying to say is what Todd or Billy pointed out, I've heard a lot. And the fact is she was the DA in San Francisco. She was the Attorney General of California. She was the senator elected from California. She is the vice president. That's it. Period. End of state. Yeah, she's plenty intelligent and plenty everything else. And foreign policy, other than in the Senate, was not something that she was immersed in. She's getting there now. She went over to Munich and gave the speech. She's been to Africa. And I'm saying that she would take good advice from a Secretary of Defense, Secretary of State, and the NSA, as would any vice president. And then not to compare their abilities, but to say to a Republican when you're somebody's getting in your face, what about Kamala Harris? And you say to them, oh, really? What? You prefer Tim Scott and Elise Stefanik? Are you out of your mind? I think that's a very legitimate argument. Kamala Harris is head and shoulders over them. I'm a strong supporter of the Biden-Harris ticket, period. So, but very, very good point. In other words, instead of reverting to the lawyer argumentative part of me, I should be more positive on the upswing. Excellent call. Thanks a lot. Cassandra Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling, Cassandra. What's in your mind today?
Hi, Matt. Thanks for taking my call. I just have to respond to Joanne's call earlier today. And I would just challenge her on the selective enforcement of the law. And I do agree with the Supreme Court decision to remove the wire so no one is harmed when they're trying to cross into the country, albeit illegally. But my question for you and to Joe, for you all to ponder upon is, what about sanctuary cities? Sanctuary cities is conditioned on the belief that local officials cannot enforce federal laws and cooperate with ICE agents. If the Fed trumps the state or local governments, then why isn't the Biden administration demanding sanctuary cities be dissolved? Because part of the reason why we have this immigration policy, why people are claiming asylum, it's partially because they are skirting the immigration laws and they are fleeing to these sanctuary cities, and taxpayers' dollars, local taxpayer dollars, are being confiscated to support individuals who are not legal citizens. And I'll listen off the air, Matt. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, Cassandra, that's an excellent call. And that had occurred to me when I talked about the gun laws in Missouri superseding federal law, got struck down. I couldn't agree with you more. In other words, sanctuary cities, if they were against federal law, would be stricken immediately. The sad thing is there is not a federal law against sanctuary cities because it wouldn't get through the Congress. I do agree with you that Joe Biden, and sadly, if Donald Trump ever got back in, by executive order could order mayors and police chiefs in cities to cooperate and enforce federal law. I do agree with that. It is possible that an appellate court would look at that and say, well, until that's passed by the Congress, for instance, gun laws are passed by the Congress, and things like borders are in the Constitution, until that happens, your executive order is not valid. And then if I were Biden, or I would, God forbid Trump, I don't want him in there, but Biden could very well say, fine, then we are not going to give any money to your city, any federal money, and they die. You remember when states... Welcome back to Macklin Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, Jamie Raskin, I'm a big fan of Jamie Raskin. He's the ranking Democrat, ranking minority member on the Oversight Committee, has put in a request. He can't put in a subpoena until we're in a majority, but he put in a request by letter that Donald Trump give full details, and that this should come from the Congress, on all the foreign money that he made or got while he was president. And remember the emoluments clause. Everybody, emoluments, everybody yawns. What's an emolument? Nobody knows what an emolument is. It's not a word that's used anymore. They go to the dictionary. But you're not supposed to profit when you're president from foreign countries because you're being bribed. And Trump got almost $8 million for services. That's what he said when he was asked, what'd you get it for? He said service. It wouldn't say what they were. 5.8 or 9 million of it was from a Chinese bank that's been avoiding our sanctions and dealing with North Korea. The others from Saudi Arabia, Qatar, UAE, and some of the others. What were the services he provided? He won't say. He won't say what the services he provided. Now, Pelosi's people examined 4 of the potentially 500 sources of his revenue. And then the minute McCarthy came in, he shut it down when they got to Congress. We need to know. Trump right now, immediately, and this happened somewhat recently, said that, would you defend Taiwan? He said, they're competing with us for semiconductor and chip stuff. Yeah, I don't like that. He will put a knife in Taiwan. He's getting money from China, Chinese banks. He will put a knife in Ukraine. He's getting money from Russia. He will put a knife in any enemy of Saudi Arabia, except Israel, because Saudi Arabia right now needs Israel, because Saudi Arabia hates Iran and the Muslim Brotherhood and Islamic Jihad more than they hate Israel, because those forces will come in and kill and supplant the crown prince and the nobility or the royalty in Saudi Arabia. So that money, we have to have an accounting for it. And yet everybody, apparently the Republican Party, goes, well, that's not all that important. What do you mean that's not all that important? He already betrayed the Kurds. They were subject to genocide by Turkey. He's already intimated he's gonna betray Taiwan. He has betrayed Ukraine. He wasn't gonna send them any weapons unless Zelensky falsely said he was investigating Joe Biden. He will do anything for money. He's not for America. And whenever I see these clowns at the Trump rallies sitting behind him yelling, USA, USA, they don't know what they're talking about. I'd like to see some of the veterans talk to them. When you talk USA, you better talk USA. You better not talk Russia. You better not talk China. You better not talk North Korea or the UAE or certainly not Saudi Arabia. We're going to the lines. Dave of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Dave?
Yeah. Hey, Matt. Great show as always. I'd like you to clarify your view on sanctuary cities. I mean, are you saying we should deport? You know, we have 12 million people here who are here legally, mainly because we won't make them legal. And are you saying we should deport, you know, people who have been in this country for 30 years or people's mothers, people's fathers? They do this all the time. And cities don't want to cooperate with that. And I think that's,
Dave, that's not at all what it is, what we're talking about. The question is, who makes the decisions? And what I'm saying is right now, lawfully, these cities can have sanctuary cities because there's no law that they cooperate with ICE or with immigration. I'm suggesting that there should be a law that they cooperate with them. What you're talking about isn't what anybody is suggesting, maybe Trump, but certainly not Biden. And Trump will do it anyway by executive order. What I'm talking about is there's somebody in prison for a felony. And ICE calls up and say, I hear he's in there for a felony. He murdered somebody. And they won't cooperate with him. Out in San Francisco, one of the things that made Trump's reputation and that turned, I think, him around on this too, there was a guy that was walking, a man and his daughter were walking along, I think it was Fisherman's Wharf or one of those piers out there. And a guy who had been an illegal entrant into the United States, been in jail several times, deported, came back, was a criminal, murdered the girl right in front of her father. Murdered the girl. If California were required to cooperate with ICE, the minute he was in jail, ICE would have gotten him and then deported him. But ICE wasn't informed he was in jail and they wouldn't cooperate with him. What happened then, and this is really disgusting, that was the one where Trump used that as an example for building the wall, and that enraged everybody. And so then the guy was criminally prosecuted for murdering the girl right in front of her father. He confessed and the jury acquitted him. I don't like that. And I'm tired of sanctuary cities who won't even cooperate with ICE when people are in jail for felonies. That's what I'm talking about. Not deporting anything. The idea of deportation has got to originate, in my view, with the federal government. It can't be a case by case basis. In New York, their city council is so screwed up, frankly, so far to the left, that they have a fund of several hundred million dollars that's to be used for attorney's fees if somebody's here is illegally and charged with a felony to hire them lawyers. They get lawyers anyway. If you're charged with a felony in New York or anywhere else, you're going to get a lawyer. But this gives them a better lawyer or more lawyers. What the hell do they think they're doing out there? That's wrong. Absolutely wrong. If you have felons in jail, I don't care if they're citizens or not citizens, they should be treated the same way. And if they're not citizens, you should cooperate with ICE. There's nothing to do with mass deportations. That's absolutely, either you misunderstood or you have to think about this issue a little more. Thanks for calling. Great show as always, and great callers. Appreciate all the callers. Matt Flynn Direct will be back same time, same place tomorrow. Stand by for another great show. Diamond Crute, Devil's Advocate. I'm signing off for today.
Hey, baby, there ain't no easy way out. Hey, I will stand my ground, and I won't back down. No, I won't back down.
Great show, Matt.
Yeah, good work, Calvin. I'll see you tomorrow. Thanks.
Yep, have a good night.